Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we're already.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 645, Luca.
Hey,
who, much to my dismay, did not live on the second floor.
Is that from the moment you saw the title? That we knew that was coming?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, very good. Yeah.
How do you not? How do you not? People would be disappointed if I didn't make it.
Would they?
They would.
All right. That's right.
Well,
some people might.
I just can't believe you didn't say the Luca. Yeah.
Lucia.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
So let's go around the table, both real and virtual, and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. So Kevin's feeling under the weather, so he stayed at home, so we didn't have to look at his sick face.
While I'm sitting here in a room with Tom, who's also feeling under the weather.
But I've been under the weather for like 3 weeks now, so I'm just like, I'm just apparently how I am now.
That's fair.
I got sick.
Oh, I didn't know Tom was sick.
Well, it's like a head cold, and I've had it for like 2 weeks. I don't have a fever or anything, so it's more just like I can't get all the snot out of my system.
It's fair.
But, so I'm not really super worried about it.
Yeah, you're vaccinated, you're fine.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of like giving it to other people.
Also, I mean, you don't feel magnetized, do you?
No, I don't.
Good,
nothing,
perfect.
Nothing sticks to me. Look, like that's. I am
magnetized.
Did you not see that?
Have you not seen that video?
No. Oh my God! Of a lady talking about how the vaccine will. Well, why does metal stick to me now? And then she puts metal. She's in
like a town hall
kind of a thing. And she's like, well, then she takes out things and puts it on her to show how she's magnetized now. And then it all just falls right off of her
because you know coins have metal in them.
Yeah,
yeah.
You dope. Just like, okay, yeah, sure.
That's it's always something, Kevin.
It's always something. But no, I got sick when I was at Disney.
That's
the second time in a row I've gotten sick while I was at Disney.
That was a Comic-Con thing for a long time. I would get sick like right after I would go to a show.
Yeah.
As you get like con crud.
I don't mind
a lot of people.
I don't mind if I get sick when I come home. I don't want to be sick while I'm there.
That's totally fair.
That's expensive.
Yeah,
people might have seen on my personal Facebook page seen the video of me trying to open a bottle of Afrin.
Just outstanding.
Oh no, I'm not familiar with that. Please regale us with your tale.
But not, like, I don't know what the hell they've done to Afrin. It was unopenable. It literally took theme park engineers to get the bottle open. I was so mad.
That's
Imagineers,
crazy. Tom.
And
Imagineers.
Then I call the 800 number on the back, and they're like, well, we'll just send you a check. And I was like, well, but I can't use the check to make myself breathe. I'm not...
I'm going to roll the check up, stick it up my nose, and hopefully just unclog everything.
I'd like to stick the bottle up my nose and the check up your ass.
The check is for your copay when you make it to the doctor.
Yeah, right.
Like, oh, my God. It was so... Anyway, I was not happy. But Oh, let's, where were we at? Oh, shameless plugs. Let's do those. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us while you're there. Be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. And you can also leave a review. That would be kind. We haven't had one of those in a bit.
We did get a rating.
Oh, okay.
So that's fine.
Okay. We'll take it.
Yeah.
We'll take it. We're not proud.
No.
And also, you could join the League of Show Shares over at on other places on the interwebs, Twitter or Facebook. We have a Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, you can like the page and join the group. The group's a better place for conversation. So
it
if
is,
you want to
yeah.
come on in, the water's fine. And people who were kind enough to share the episode 2 weeks ago, because we forgot to share it on Facebook. We didn't share it.
Yeah.
We should. Can I not say the name of the podcast this week because we didn't share the
episode?
I guess
we cannot. No.
So we can't say the name of the episode this week. So, but people who were kind enough to share A Very Quiet Place. Heather Sachs, Chris Valls, Pat Andy, Ralph Triple, Tammy Sherman Powers, Chris Williams, Travis Tewitt, Gabriel Lugo, Ron Johnson, Chris Magic Man, Glenn Cougar, Melon Brewer, Rich Lawson, Julian Jordan, Cinema Recall, Brendan McGuckin, The Movie Journey Podcast, Invasion of the Remake, We Have a Hulk, B. Garner, Geek to Me Radio, Mike and Oscar, Ken Holtzhauser, Ronnie Castle, Matt Naglia, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast, Feel and Film, In Session Film, Binge Movies, Braid 1991, Lazy TJ7, Kathia Woods, Colby Mack, and Linda Wright. And Colby Mack, before Brad Hyen reaches out.
I know.
This
yeah.
is not for the Cruella episode, because we forgot to share. This is for A Very Quiet Place. So
A Quieter Place.
Yeah. So, Brad, suck it.
Take it down.
Yeah.
Go cut your hair.
Yeah, yeah, hippie. Yeah. So, anyway, there's all that. Oh, yeah, we also have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month you get bonus content, and you help us out when things go bad. With the equipment, so that's
like and paying for Tom's extra bottles of Afrin.
Correct. Yes. To my rider, to my tech rider. So. Anyway, there's all that. I guess let's dig into Luca.
What? This is an interesting
movie.
Agree.
Luca
Warm.
Agree.
Well, it's like this feels like you know when they released Planes, and they threw it in the theaters, and we're like, we'll just make some extra bucks on it.
Yeah.
This like it's a I enjoyed the movie overall. But it's. I don't feel like this is Pixar proper. Like this feels offshoot of Pixar.
This to me feels like they had a short.
Oh, sure.
That was too big for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But not big enough for a feature length film. And they made a feature length film anyway.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
And because it's so Italian focused, right? Like,
let's see where this is going to go.
It's set
but all right.
in Italy. And this is why we had Joe on this week.
Thank
we
like to.
He's a token Italian.
Thank you. I'm Sicilian, but that's fine. All right.
But close enough. I mean, close enough for the rest of us.
Right.
But, but at the end of the movie, instead of saying the end, it says fine, which I think sums up the film. It was fine.
It was fine.
Yeah, it was a perfectly entertaining watch. I think for one viewing, a view of this beautiful countryside. It to me was more cartoony, which is kind of weird to say, but Pixar has become so photorealistic.
Yeah,
and their
animation
is so impressive. This one looked more cartoony. So, but it's still bright and beautiful, and the underwater stuff looked good. But it's just kind of a meandering story. Not quite meandering, but I guess it's more simplistic to where it was an entertaining watch, but you're not thinking about it for days afterwards, like you know they've done in the past with things like Soul or Inside Out, and we've come to expect that. So I think Pixar is having a tough time competing with themselves at this point.
And I know that the Pixar people, they were insulted that there wasn't the upcharge for this one like there was for Mulan or Cruella or what was it? Did they do that for another one yet? Or is it just those two?
Well, they're going to do it for Raya, but then they're doing it for Black Widow as well, I think.
And so I know that they were upset about that they felt slighted. And having seen the movie, they shouldn't.
No.
I think if people had paid $30 for this movie,
yep.
it could have
been pissed.
It could have damaged the business model this early.
Bingo. I wonder because, you know, these movies take about 4 years to develop, and Soul just came out at Christmas less than six months ago. So I wonder if they had both of them basically ready to go. They were both probably almost finished. And they said, well, we can't release one straight to Disney Plus and one in the theaters. And I think they maybe said, well, it's a pandemic. Things are weird. A lot of stuff's going straight to streaming. Let's just put them both on streaming and then we'll get back to normal later. Yeah. Because I thought the same thing. If you paid $10 per family and you're talking 4 or 5 tickets, $50, $50 for concessions. If you paid $100 to see this
in theaters,
I think... Well, yeah. Okay, I mean, if you paid $100, I think you'd be really disappointed. And now you watch it at home, and like I said, it's fine. Like, it's an entertaining watch, but this will not go down as, like, you know, best Pixar of all time.
I got to tell you, this is going to, like...
Yeah, yeah, I was thinking
Good Dinosaur. Like, yeah. I think this is better than Good Dinosaur.
But it's right above. I mean, it's somewhere it's close to Good Dinosaur.
Yeah. It's interesting because we talked about Mitchells versus the Machines and how, like, that animation style set itself apart from the Pixar stuff, mm-hmm. where I feel like this one, Pixar definitely has a look now.
Yeah.
Like their animation models have a look, and this didn't look like anything. Like this, no, this was so different from anything Pixar had done before.
Should be to their credit, though, right? Because that's the thing, is that it's so weird because Pixar animation has been so stunningly beautiful lately that you would say, oh, well, it always looks good and one always looks better than the next. But the weird thing is they changed it for this, yet that seems like a negative factor with this film.
Well, I think, right? Because I would agree. Because they've gotten so good.
And the story is so slight.
Yeah.
So you have this big pivot on the animation style, and then you have this very slight story, and so I'm like halfway through the movie and I'm just kind of like, where are we going with this?
Well, it's also, there's no, in Soul or Inside Out or what was the one before Inside Out, there was like three in a row where it was like emotional gut punches. Toy Story 4,
I mean, it's hard to pull out.
But there was like three or four in a row.
But I mean, I don't know. I almost feel like every Pixar has some sort of emotion.
Yeah.
I mean, Up.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, that's kind of their jam.
But there's been some sort of like idea of emotional growth with a person, right? Like, does that make sense? As a viewer, you're watching like an Up. It's the mixing of, or not Up, but Inside Out. It's like the mixing of the emotions to make a new emotion, things like that.
Yeah.
Where that doesn't exist in this movie. Like, there's no...
I think it does, but it's more simplistic because I think, to your point, Joe, like, where they go with this film, I mean, they're dealing with things like acceptance. Like, you've got monsters, right? And so whatever, you can read into this as a metaphor for several different things.
Right.
But
I think the gut punch angle that you're talking about, Joe, really relies on how far down the metaphor trail do you want to go?
I guess that's
with
fair.
This yes. movie. If you want to read it this as a queer love story, then it's there.
It's there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you don't, then it's just kind of
accepting who you are.
It's just this kind of small movie that, you know, that doesn't do
that's
a whole
very
lot.
Interesting. I definitely it's tough now. Like, we talked about that in Frozen 2. Where it's like, oh, I mean, it's there if you like Kevin's. Yeah. I think Kevin, you even said that on the Frozen 2 podcast, is where if you want to read into the relationship with Elsa and that girl, you can.
I feel like it's more here.
It is definitely more prevalent here
than it is in Frozen 2.
Like, I would agree with that
because like that the whole thing where him and Alberto first go on land, like, I mean,
it's a date.
I mean, it's like they're falling in love.
Yeah,
like I honestly. It's hard to read that any other way.
They would just do it.
I was
going to
ask the same question. Like, when do we double down? Not double down on it, but just do it. Like, what point do they just do it?
Well, like Pixar,
they need to be 18.
Not
first.
It. Not like that's not what I mean.
Right. So like Pixar, they have a gay short, right? Isn't it called Out? So it's not like they've never broached. I think they're kind of baby stepping it to where there's more and more because, you know, you see a lot more of that now with, I mean, look at, this is Pride Month and you see all these corporations celebrating it and everything. So I think we're getting there. But the thing is with these stories, if we're going to get this close to it, I do wish they would just double down and do it and finally say, screw all you haters. you know, this is what we're doing. This is the story we're telling. Because, you know, you don't get the emotional, like, if you're looking for that emotional gut punch, you'd have it if they had come out and just done it, right? Because this story would be very touching and, the, you know, the two of them, you know, trying to have the relationship, and then he's feels nervous or ashamed because of his family, and then they can't be together, and he's going against everything he wants because he doesn't want to disappoint his family and is worried about what people will think of him. And in the end, you should be yourself, be accepted, don't be scared of who you are.
But doesn't that become more of Alberto's story at that point, right? Because Luca...
No, Alberto embraces who he is. Luca is scared. He says, I'm not a sea monster. He is. Go get that sea monster.
Oh, okay. So I was thinking of the relationship with the girl. Like, that Alberto was getting super jealous of the relationship. And like, I'm not saying that... It definitely felt like Luca was kind of digging on the girl in the movie.
I honestly read it as Alberto was gay, Luca was bi.
That's okay. That's what I was thinking.
And so when he started to develop this relationship with the girl,
Alberto became jealous, and
Alberto was upset and jealous, and you know, and then you have the whole sea monster metaphor for coming out,
right?
And that, you know, that it's something that they have to hide from people.
Sure.
You know, they have this shared secret and you can read it as that shared secret is their sexuality, or it's the sea monsters.
Yeah. You know what's nice too, though, is that you can also not read any of that, and the film does play out. Yeah. It's just a really nice friendship story, very similar to Wreck-It Ralph 2. So remember in Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph and Vanellope are the best of friends and everything, but Vanellope wants to go and be in this different game, and she wants more out of life, and Ralph just wants to do the same old, and doesn't want to endanger their friendship by her growing apart or whatever. And that was a completely platonic relationship, and you know, there was never anything sexual between those two, and they grew apart, but then they accepted at the end, very similar to the way this movie does. So you can definitely read it differently, and I do think that, like Tom said, the gut punch comes in depending on how you read it. But I just wish they would kind of, you know, gather their strength and just make a movie like that and say what they want to say, if that was the intention, because I think it would have more impact, and it certainly would affect more people. I mean, you know, of course you're always going to have the haters and people that are going to,
I wonder if that group of people is just getting smaller and smaller.
I think it is.
And getting louder and louder. Like, does that make sense? Sure. Like, they're getting smaller because I think
they're getting smaller, but the temper tantrums are getting bigger.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Look at again, just like, which is great. Look at Pride Month, and like every single company is celebrating Pride Month.
I mean,
you can't boycott everyone.
But I mean, let's not. I mean, corporations are only supporting it and putting stuff out there because it's the cool thing to do
but the point is, I mean, you're not wrong. Corporations are always going to co-ops things,
right?
But the fact that they're not scared to co-opt,
that's fair. That's
tells
totally
you
fair.
The same with Juneteenth, right? The fact that businesses and the government, as a federal holiday now, are willing to co-opt it shows you the level of acceptance and support. I mean, the Senate unanimously voted. I mean, like, when I see people in comments bitching about Juneteenth, I'm like, when the Senate, like this, when the United States Senate,
right,
all agrees on one thing, then and you're still mad about it. Hey, dude, you're a fucking racist.
Yeah, you're the problem.
Yeah, right. You're a problem.
Right. Like, when they can't agree on a commission for a bonkers thing that happens,
right?
But they do agree to make this one day very important day,
and you're still mad about it.
You're still mad. Come on, bro.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Take your hood off.
So, right. So that's the thing. So yeah, I like to give. I know what you guys are saying. I agree. Of course, companies, they are in business to make money. So the risk versus reward. They say it's better for us to do this than that. But also, I'm not ever going to count it against a company that wants
to do
something
good.
You're
totally right.
Totally.
It's really hard because you know how many people. Okay, it's what is an example of something we saw? Oh, In the Heights, right? Not to get into that whole controversy, but Lin-Manuel Miranda makes this movie and it has all Latin people in it, and you know, it's this great movie and it's a big blockbuster studio film and all this, and then you've got people say they're not dark enough, and you know what I mean, and then it's like, well, now you've got all this infighting when really you know, there's a huge celebration happening, and Lin-Manuel Miranda handled it so well and said, I'm listening and I'm sorry you felt this way. I mean, he handled it perfectly, but I just feel so bad for him because he did this great thing. And he obviously, if you're Lin-Manuel Miranda, only has the best intentions. Right. I mean, you know, this
and,
guy,
and he's, so, there's nobody that's done more for colorblind casting than Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Exactly. So like, that's why it's like, oh, this movie's not doing that well at the box office. Now there's all this infighting, and all that is going to do in the end is make studios go, well, this is not a positive effect, you know? And so, like, I feel really bad because it's this great thing. So my point is, like, I'm not going to give companies crap for doing this because, yes, they're a business. Of course, everything is motivated, whether it's political or, you know, this, what would you call it, just social, you know, yeah, whatever they're trying to do. Yeah. All their different choices are made because they think the bottom line will be better, but still, I'm not going to give them crap for it. But it just shows you that, yes, this is going to become more regular, and eventually we will get a movie that doesn't tag on a post-credits gay reveal, isn't just a metaphor or some kind of allegory. So,
so here's my question, though. Do you think that it's Disney that does that, or do you think it's a different company that maybe doesn't have as much of a risk, if that makes sense? Like, I could see Warner Brothers doing it, but when you
or like DreamWorks doing it first.
But so, like, I mean, it goes back to that Kevin Smith story about Dogma, right? Where people were boycotting Dogma because Disney was putting it out, and they're just like, Disney, you know, Disney has no right to say these things, blah, blah, blah. And Kevin Smith's like, have you seen the movie? And they're like, no. He's like, there's a rubber poop monster in it. Like, don't take it too seriously. Right. Disney drops it. I think Miramax picked it up, and people are just like, woo. And they're like, the movie's still coming out. They're like, yeah,
I think
but
I picked
not...
up. Was it by the Weinstein Company?
I
maybe
think it was
Miramax was Disney, and that's why they
were
complaining.
Was that what it... Maybe that's what it was.
And then
maybe that's what it was.
I think that's it's been a while.
That though. You might be right.
Yeah.
But then they're just like, it's not coming out. And they're like, Disney's not putting it out. And they're like, yeah, but it's still coming out.
Right.
Like, what does it make? So I just wonder if Disney at this point can't yet.
I don't know. Because and I wonder if like, who's gonna ever.
They have their Pride Days at the park, and
yeah, that's true.
You
that's
know,
true.
I mean, and they're loosening the restrictions on how park people can present themselves, how their cast members can present.
You know
themselves
what? If those people want to boycott Disney and not crowd the parks, and
please
not,
do
what like more power to you. Yeah. Because you know what? Just ditch them because it's their loss. If they're you know, go watch your Ben Shapiro movies that he's producing with Gina
Is that
Carano.
A thing?
You know,
yeah,
like
with
yeah,
Gina Carano.
Like just,
yeah,
just all right. The, yeah. So it's
choice.
Like
have
just,
they seen Haywire? Because I'm just saying.
I love Haywire.
Yeah, but did you know that she's dubbed that entire movie?
Oh no,
they
I didn't.
Took out all of her dialogue and redid
oh,
it in
no.
ADR. That is a truth. Go back and watch that. And you're like, that doesn't work.
At some time, a company's going to have the ball and just come out and do it. And then once they do it, everyone else will start doing it. Someone has to be the first. And Disney's so big, I think they're way too big at this point to fail. And, you know, I mean,
yeah, that's probably true.
Egregious.
I guess
so.
It's almost impossible for them to.
I don't know. Mars needs moms.
Is that Disney? I've never seen it.
Yeah, that was Disney.
That was like
it?
That was like wow. That was when they were trying to like move into like that Pixar style of animation.
Okay.
And also what was the
Chicken Little?
No, the live action one with Taylor Kitsch, the one that you actually like.
Oh,
John Carter. Yeah,
John
I
Carter.
That.
I mean, Disney
yeah.
fails.
Yeah, has a good
no,
movie.
No, but they're still here to tell the tales.
Oh,
I mean.
Gosh. Yeah, it's
they're
not going
to
be so bad
fail.
That it'll kill the
yeah,
company.
Yeah, so do it. You're going to have some people boycotting and picketing. Then you're going to have 50% boost from the people that are like, well, you know what? I've never been a Disney person, but I am now. I mean,
right.
You know what? Just do it. So that's all. I think, you know, that's what I've got to say about that. But the movie, going back to the movie, though. So did you guys hear about what inspired this film in general?
No.
So I think the reason why it's so simplistic and a little more meandering is because the director said, Enrico Caserona, he said that it was inspired by Miyazaki films. So if you've seen Miyazaki films, you know they're
that.
A little bit more whimsical, they're a little more slow, and more of a simplistic story. And that is also why Film Twitter is like super clinging to this movie, which I still think it's a middle-of-the-road movie, but you know they're like loving this movie because the director says, "Oh,
it is
Miyazaki
it is weird
homage."
How much this kid looks like me when I was a kid. Like I'm watching it, and I texted my
Which
mom.
Which one?
The Luca.
Okay,
well, Luca's all I mean, Italians look the same.
Well, that's all right. That's luckily I'm not Italian, so it doesn't matter. You're just racist against a whole other country that I'm not a part of.
So you'll allow it?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, that's Kevin.
So you're okay with racism?
He's not in the room, so I can't punch him.
As long as it doesn't affect you.
It doesn't affect me. Yeah, right.
Okay, got it.
But, like, I texted my mom a picture of Luca, and I was like, who does this look like? And she was like, hold on a second. And she was trying to find a picture of me around 7 or 8. And I looked just like this kid looks, same hair, same eye color, like the whole thing. It's very weird watching this movie. And I was like, this is strange.
Dark hair, dark eyes, looks just like Joe.
I mean, when, no, I didn't say hair color. I just said hair.
I thought you just did.
No, eye color. That's different.
Oh, okay.
And dark hair, dark eyes, can't lose. Is that
I don't think that's how that works. No. But it's like, it's very, it was very interesting to watch this.
Yeah.
And it's also, there was one stereotypical Italian character, and that's like the bad guy. But it was nice to see like an Italian village and not be surrounded by mobsters or like, you know, like whatever other plumbers. I guess I'm thinking Super Mario Brothers. Like,
the whole village, the whole village should just be just all Mario clones, yeah. And so like, and pizzerias.
It's nice to like see Italian heritage represented in a way that's not the norm anymore.
Like, I'll give them that for this movie. Like, I mean, that's one thing I love about these Pixar movies and even Disney movies is when they go to a different country. I mean, and Disney's been doing that since the beginning when in their animated films. But I love seeing the culture, the architecture, the food, that really is a nice escape. And I think this movie, the story aside, it is a beautiful, you know, capture of the Italian Riviera. Like, you know, I really do like where we go with the movie as far as destination. I just wish maybe we could have spent a little bit more time, like even with Soul, right? And Soul that just came out in December. I feel like Jazz and that scene in New York is so much more lived in than this. I feel like we're just kind of like, it's a very much a background, and I don't feel like I was immersed in the Italian culture, even though we spent a little bit of time there. And I wish they could have developed that more here.
Yeah, When you kind of have the simplicity of the story, I don't know how long was this. Out of curiosity, like was it
like 90 minutes?
I thought it felt really
it was short.
Short.
It was like an hour and 36 minutes. Something
which
like
okay, yeah. Like I do think that is where a kid's movie kind of needs to live, like that hour and a half, hour 45 mark, because I don't think that kids of 2021 have the attention span to go for 2 hours and still stay invested. So I don't know if
although
you can,
they've done it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true.
I mean, Pixar,
if it's good enough,
you're in no matter what, yeah. But like they didn't have the time to get into. I think they did a good job with the dad who also looks like
the dad from Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
The character design is a little spot on there.
I mean, that is not even just like similar. That is the same character.
Yes.
He is a fisherman, a big, burly fisherman with eyebrows that are so bushy you can't see his eyes, and a bushy mustache.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a fisherman.
Yes.
It's the exact same character. Right. And I love that character, Tim Lockwood. I think he's amazing. It's just like, how do you make the exact same character in a different... I don't know. It was weird.
And it's not like these movies were on parallel tracks, right?
Like, oh, sure.
Like,
sure.
Like, sometimes you see that, you know, movies are kind of... being produced at the same time
movies.
And they kind of, you know, the collective consciousness lands on the same joke or plot point or something, but that movie's been out for like 10 years.
You get a Dante's Peak in a volcano.
Right.
You
know? Ants and a bug.
There you go. Yeah. So like, I think that they using him as like your real world or his daughter, like using both of them as like your real world counterparts you can see around this place, I think was the smart move. But I would have liked to have seen a little bit more development in like the village and just like the that village life, which you don't. You just see people kind of like walking around and eating ice cream. Like,
yeah, I kind of would have liked to have met and actually stayed with the different characters more, where we just get glimpses of like old ladies in the village,
right? Or the rich kid, you know?
Yeah. So the only thing I'll say too, which is interesting, is this: the dad character is actually pretty much the same character from a short film.
Is that the one with the stars?
Also, yeah, the one with the kid is collecting all the stars. Luna?
Luna, not Luca. Luna.
Yeah, La Luna.
Right. Okay.
So there's a fisherman, I guess, character. I mean, it's the same character with the dad in this movie has a missing arm, but this one has an arm, and he looks just like him, and it's the same director, so clearly he liked that character model.
I gotcha.
And that movie came out that short came out 2 years after Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, so I think that makes it even more strange.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing to double down on. It's whatever. I love that movie and that character so much that it was strange to see basically the same character in this. So I'm torn because it's good in this movie, but it's also like very reminiscent
derivative.
Yeah, it is, exactly.
You know, when you're talking about like to see more of Italy, I'd like to see more of the ocean and the sea monster.
Sure,
you know,
I totally agree.
Feel like there's so much that they could have established and played with that they just didn't.
Yeah.
And that's what's so kind of mystifying about this film.
Especially when we've seen Moana and we've seen these different movies that get into the ocean and get into, like, you know, being able to use the foam coming off the waves and things like that.
God,
so it's
Moana,
like,
is one of the best Disney movies, not only of recent, but like of all time. Moana is great, incredible. So
especially just the technical aspect of it all.
Well, yeah, but everything, the story, the family, her, trying to deal with the inner struggles of, you know, I want to go and be this warrior and all this. And the chief actually played by the same guy that played George Washington on Broadway in Hamilton.
Really?
The singing voice of her father. Just funny, since we're talking about Lin-Manuel Miranda stuff.
Didn't he write some of the songs for that? Didn't he?
Lin-Manuel Miranda did all the songs for Moana.
Yeah.
Right. And so he put the George Washington. I'm blanking on his name, but he was also in The Heights. He was Benny on Broadway, and he was the Mr. Softy ice cream guy, you know, cameo character in the movie. But talking about other Disney stuff, I think the other reason why I didn't enjoy this so much is it seemed like they just lifted a lot from other stuff. And
I would totally agree.
This movie
is
basically just Little Mermaid.
I thought, you
this
know,
is,
when
this,
when
this
when
is
he
the
goes
Little Mermaid without
land,
the songs,
I
which is what makes Little Mermaid great, right?
And he doesn't have to sell his voice. Like, he can just,
like,
there's no stakes. I mean, there's no stakes
right,
for him.
Right. The story is Little Mermaid. It's just, oh, look at all these gadgets and gizmos that I found under the sea. Oh, I want to go up where the people are. Okay,
are you
going to
sing the song?
Are
you breaking into song right now?
Yeah, don't say more, or we're going to pay.
Right. But the story, the basic outline of the story is The Little Mermaid without the great songs and without the conflict, like Joe said, which makes it so like, oh, well, I can't talk. I mean, yeah, he's hiding that he's a monster, but it just doesn't seem to have the same stakes, and it's a lot easier to just not get wet than to try to do what you got to do without talking and all that. It just, to me, it's like I've seen this movie before and it was so derivative. It just, to me, I think that took away from it, where maybe if other people didn't catch that as much, they just,
it's funny though, like we've talked about this before as well though, if it was better, we wouldn't be having this conversation, right? Like, I mean, A Bug's Life is Magnificent Seven. Like, it's,
oh yeah, absolutely,
you know, it follows a lot of the same beats. And
Or like and, Lion King is Hamlet.
Right, yeah. So it's, you know, like, it's not like no one's ever, you know, kind of lifted the storyline for a kid's movie before. But
when you adapt a story from another story and you're being creative, that's what makes it better.
Yeah, the fun of those movies is seeing how they apply that, like, okay, and how does that work with when we do it with bugs, or how does it work when we do it with jungle animals? And
exactly.
Like, and you don't really get that here.
No,
here it's like, okay, well, they're not mermaids, they're sea creatures, but that isn't a big enough jump to me, because mermaids are still hunted by fishermen.
I mean,
sea creatures are hunted by fishermen.
When they're like eating fish. And I was like, is that,
what I know,
we,
I was thinking the
what
same
we,
thing.
What
I was
we,
like, what?
Why would he's going to show Luca and Alberto are going to show the dad, like, the best place to catch fish?
I thought that seemed odd, too.
I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
You'd be like, no, eat the stuff on your land.
To be,
like, don't
to be fair, fish eat other fish, too.
That's totally fair. I thought the same thing,
but
still.
Again, we didn't spend enough time in their world for that to be established as to what their relationship is with other fish.
Sure.
And so when you see them, like, helping him catch fish, you just kind of, especially since even if they're cool with eating fish, they don't like land monsters.
Right.
Like, you think that they would be like, well, they'd still side with sea creatures over land monsters.
And we kind of,
they should have been sabotaging the fishermen at
something,
every corner.
Right. Like, there's a whole clever scene they could have put in the movie. Yeah.
That we
gave them for free.
There is one scene where the dad, the fish dad is like, talking about raising prized crabs.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so you, like, there's an idea that maybe they're involved with either selling or eating fish, yeah. but also it's just like maybe they're just pets.
He's hurting,
like,
he's hurting fish.
He is hurting fish, like lambs.
Sheep. I mean, he's sheep. Not doing that for pets. I mean, they're, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I'm sure those are like sheep that you're going to use for things, and they don't have coats, so I'm nope. guessing they eat them.
You know? Just eat the skin. No big deal.
yeah, they're just raised for their
skin. I agree, though. I would have liked to have seen more underwater. Like, all of that, that whole world was kind of, was interesting enough where
yeah.
you could have given a half the movie or a third of the movie underwater.
Why do you cast, of all people, Sacha Baron Cohen
yep.
in a movie like this? And give him like four lines of dialogue,
and like don't let him do anything. Like and his voice is like,
and he was funny. That was a funny character.
Yeah,
and it was just so weird and out there. I dug it, but I'm just like, why do we only get that for like 2 minutes?
Right.
Who else was waiting the entire movie for his human form to show up looking for Luca on land?
Yeah.
Yep. It's like it had to. Sacha Baron Cohen's in the movie, and he plays this crazy, you know, uncle character that's like, you know, kind of like reminds me of the Chicago guys from SNL. He's like, hit my chest to jumpstart my heart, you know? So I'm thinking, oh, he's going to go on land and be this big slob that everyone's looking at. Like, who is this guy? There were so many fun moments that could have played out with him. And then you don't see him again till after credits, and he just is talking to a fish.
And it's, and it's basically recycling the same joke he already told.
The punching of the heart.
Yeah. And the transparent and whale carcass you know, like
it was my daughter has started to pick up on things in movies that I was not expecting, where when the mom in this movie starts talking, she's like, huh, is that the same mom from Up Onward? And I was like, no, it can't be. It is. It's Maya Rudolph. Like
Maya Rudolph the mom in Onward and in the whatever, the Sony one that we just watched?
Oh, she's definitely maybe Julia Dreyfuss is in.
Yeah, I was like,
I didn't think she was Onward.
She is the mom in Mitchell's versus the Machine.
Mitchell's versus Machine. Yeah, that's what she was talking about. We just saw. Yeah,
but she's also the mom in this. And I was like, that's pretty good, kiddo. Like, that's a good pickup. And like, Maya Rudolph is a great voice, is a great actor. And,
yeah, or actress, I like her a lot.
And
she has a great voice for, like, I mean, she was great in the Mitchell's versus Machines, too. Like, I think the stereotypical mom in these animated films, that, you know, is kind of the same mom. They use the exact same mom character. And, like, it's okay if she wants to voice them all. She really is perfect for
role. And then Timothée Chalamet, I think, is Luca in this, right?
No,
he's the other one?
Jacob Tremblay.
That's what I meant, yes.
No, Dylan Grazer, the guy from Shazam, the friend, Freddy, is
Oh, the kid Alberto. From It.
Yeah,
right?
One of them was in It.
Yeah, that was
No. The friend, Freddie Freeman whatever his
name
is.
That was the hypochondriac kid from It.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I just don't remember. But yeah, so it's those two are the main characters. I think the star of the movie is the girl that they meet, Julia.
Yes.
She's played by Emma Berman. That character, I thought she was really fun. She did a great performance with the voice. She was the most interesting, entertaining character in the movie. Like, those two main people were just such basic characters.
Yep.
I thought she had a lot going for her. She was standing up to the bully, Ercole. She was, you know, she was doing triathlons by herself, and she was just a really fun character. She was my favorite, hands down.
I think I would have maybe enjoyed this more if she was the main character.
Because she was like an interesting character. And I mean, Jacob Tremblay did a good job as meekish little boy, like he plays in every movie that he's in.
He in Dr. Sleep?
Yeah, and he gets killed on screen.
Yeah, off. Yeah. That's right. He's
You know, he plays the same character, meek little boy. Like, even in, you know, in Good Boys, he's kind of like the good boy. Like, he kind of has that.
He's
right,
the really
him.
Good one, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, the kid's really good at what he's been typecasted doing, but that character...
In The Room, he didn't do anything.
He didn't do anything in The Room.
It's so weak.
Yeah.
So, I kind of wish he was in The Room. That would be an interesting mashup. The Room mashup.
Yeah, The Room is a very different movie.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Jacob.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but I think that the Julia character is hilarious. I really like her. I would have taken a movie with her and her dad. I just think they're fantastic. And I was really hoping it was something like that Julia was also a sea creature, but she was just hidden. Like, I was hoping there would be a twist, more like a reverse twist of where someone that has been on land. Well, there was in a, like a throwaway moment scene at the end.
Yeah, the two old ladies.
Old ladies. But I was thinking for Julia, because she was such good friends with them and everything, I'm like, oh, they really are sea creatures, but they've hid it so well, or something like that. But she's MVP of this movie. You know, and the other stuff is fine, but again, like Tom said, it kind of felt like the Luca and Alberto stuff could have been like a fun short film. Like, it was fine for a small contained thing, but it just kind of lost my interest halfway through.
What else do they have in the pipeline? Like, is there, so we've got,
it's something about like a red panda.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. You seen the picture? They announced it. It's I don't know what it is really, but it's like a red panda is the main character, and they've showed the character model, and that's all I know about it.
And so, and does Disney Animation have anything ready to go?
They've definitely all have stuff that's coming out. I can't think of what the next Disney Animation.
I'm just thinking
is,
like there has been this overload because of the pandemic. Of
yeah,
so we had Soul. And then mm-hmm.
Do we have something else? They have a Toy Story spinoff movie called Lightyear coming out.
Oh, that's right.
That's the Chris Evans one with Chris Evans
as Buzz Lightyear.
It's supposed to be like, isn't it supposed to be like kind of like the TV show Buzz Lightyear Star Command, where it's the show that the toy is based on.
I got you. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
It's just, I feel like
it's very meta.
I feel like that because of the pandemic, a lot of things that we were probably going to get spaced out didn't get spaced out.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm just kind of curious as to like, so with this, they must have something geared up for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
The Disney movie that's coming out is Encanto.
What's that?
It's directed by the same people that did Zootopia, Byron Howard and Jared Bush. Okay. And it is Lin-Manuel Miranda is doing all the music for that as well. So that should be pretty good.
So that's the end of the year?
That's Disney, and that is for November of this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, they've always got something like right around Thanksgiving or Christmas. So I just wonder if like, because this is all, and I wonder if this had come out staggered instead of like we get Soul at...
Yeah, because Soul was supposed to come out earlier, and it got pushed.
Right.
And I think they did the right thing not charging for that one, too. And I don't think it's because of the quality of that movie. I think it's because they were trying to use it as a loss leader to get people to sign up for Disney Plus. And so
they were a League of Show Shares?
What's that?
They were a League of Show Shares? You said loss leader.
Oh, gotcha. I think they made the right call there. I think them not having the upcharge for this one was a comment on the quality of the film. I think that's probably true. And also
Soul is excellent. I love
Soul's fantastic.
Yeah. And Kevin, also the panda movie is called Turning Red.
Turning Red. There you go.
And it says the description says a 13-year-old girl turns into a giant red panda whenever she gets too excited.
Are red pandas giant?
That to me,
aren't red
something
pandas
about
small?
The character design seemed more like a Miyazaki movie. I thought the character design looked Miyazaki-ish.
Yeah,
that's weird. Red pandas are small.
That's why they specify giant.
I guess that's true.
But it's like, well, that's going to be really awkward when she's like 18.
Super awkward.
Yeah.
Let's make things really weird.
First, going to get
Should we breeze through the plot of this movie?
Yeah. So it's pretty simple. Yeah, it's pretty simple. Luca lives under the sea. That's the last time we can say that without having to pay
under
Disney.
The sea?
Nope.
His name is Luca. He lives on the ocean floor.
Yes, that's right.
He lives downstairs from you.
Perhaps. Again, we don't want to pay anybody any money.
And now, it's a parody song. I'm in Weird Al territory. They can't make me pay.
Let me get my harmonica accordion? And my
xylophone.
My what is the thing that he plays with? No, with the
accordion.
The accordion. Yes. Look at my accordion out.
It's pretty simple. Luca herds his fish, and he sees things from the surface world, and he wants to go up there. His parents are super anti because of the land monsters. He ends up going up. Was it on accident, or he does it on purpose? And then he, as the deal with these, with the fish people is once they dry off.
Is that offensive?
I don't think so.
Fish people?
Sea monsters, which I feel like is more offensive.
But they call themselves sea monsters.
Do they?
They embrace it, yeah.
They embrace it.
Okay, all right.
Maybe we can't say that either.
Yeah, I don't know.
As
soon as they dry off, they go into human form. So we see...
Which I have questions about how that works too, because I swear there were times where Luca was out of the water, but his toe was still in the water and he had a human form. And then as soon as he walked onto the beach, he turned in or sea monster. And then he walked onto the beach and turned into a human form. And there were other moments where he gets splashed and then you see his scales. Like, I was a little confused.
Yeah. They don't really follow their own rules
and they,
all the time.
They dry off really
real fast.
Yeah.
At different, real fast. Yeah. There's like, there's times where, you know, he wouldn't be completely dry yet. It takes 2 seconds to turn into human form.
I did enjoy
form.
That cat.
And then do they not sweat?
That's the other question. Well, I mean, probably not.
Well,
right?
Yes.
But I don't know. It's dangerous.
But also, how do they breathe? So they have a set of lungs plus gills. So that do their gills turn into lungs when they go on the? It doesn't make any sense, Kevin.
Whatever the rules are, it's definitely magical because they're transforming. Their tail disappears. There's no explanation for the tail isn't just turning into something; it's disappearing. So, I mean, you have to give it. It is just a fantastic magical story. I just mean I want them to follow their fantastic magical rules.
Like, I get
if
it.
You, yeah,
yeah. But so he goes to the surface and he meets Alberto, and they spark this friendship, and they want to get. This Vespa, and they want to travel the world together. And
the,
as
that
I'm talking about it,
part,
it is, like,
though,
it is, very...
is that the main plot point is getting a Vespa.
A Vespa. Yeah. Yeah. And traveling the country together. They meet up with this, with the girl, Juliana, I think was her name. And they form like this thruple, I guess. and they, you know, they're going to take out the head bad guy who's like this snot-nosed Italian rich kid. So they devise
his plan. His name is Ercole, which is Italian for Hercules.
Is that right?
Ercole, mm-hmm. You might remember him from Familia Matters.
Thank you. God damn it. That's I was going the same way. Stefano. Stefano Ercole.
Yeah.
Stefan. Yeah.
Yeah, so they.
I had a great Conjuring joke, but we didn't get to do that one.
We'll get there, maybe. I haven't seen it yet.
Hopefully not. I've never seen any of those.
That's
movies.
Insane to me.
You have to. The first two are really good, and I don't like those kind of movies.
They're so
the
good.
The third one is a total piece of crap.
Oh, that's what no. I've heard. There's What's just so Wong? Many to catch up on now that when
there's
we
two.
Were talking about. Well, maybe
you
know, we'll
there's
do
two.
That.
You only
Ignore
have to do two. Anything that doesn't have the Conjuring okay. in the title.
Yeah,
like
just
all
do
of those
one
are
and
crap.
Two.
And it's not. They try to say it's a shared universe, but it's. I mean,
barely.
Like, it's not like you won't know what's. It's not like you need to see Annabelle and the Nun and all this other
right.
stupid junk to understand what's going on in the Conjuring movies. Because Conjuring movies are basically anthologies,
pretty much.
I mean, you don't even need to see one to understand two, in my opinion.
Oh, that's probably okay. true. Yeah,
just, I mean, you know, to know who the I think the only one I've seen is the Nun that we covered, and I'm like, yeah. that was actually
you did
decent.
Annabelle. We did Annabelle Creation.
We did the Annabelle.
I don't
movies.
Think. I don't think I was on the show. Though.
Annabelle Creation's good.
If you like The Nun, then you'll really like the first two Conjuring movies because okay. they're way... The Nun was
way
okay,
better.
But they're way better
yeah.
than The Nun.
And
okay.
The
okay.
third one is not a James Wan directorial
And the third movie. One's bad.
Damn. Patrick Wilson can't save it.
That's what I hear.
Unfortunately.
Now, I mean, they just turn it into like a monster movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's like,
that's what they did with that Annabelle Comes Home.
But like, but those are ancillary movies, right? Like the Conjuring movies, I kind of like the fact that they're smaller and they're somewhat grounded in reality.
Yeah,
like,
a little
this
bit.
This is just like they're getting chased by a monster, basically.
Damn it.
And I'm just like, I don't
well, maybe
like
this
it.
Is the last one. Probably
and then,
not. I say
no,
that.
No, I'm sure I made plenty of money. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It was a HBO movie.
It did both.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Julia.
Yeah, so they basically they make this team. And then Julia and Luca start to develop a friendship and a very close friendship. And Alberto is not a fan of that. But at the same time, Alberto starts to develop a father son relationship with Juliana's dad, where he's, you know, that we find out that Alberto doesn't have a father, like his father kind of dipped out on him. When
I'm thinking his father was killed by fishermen.
Oh, but didn't he say, like, isn't there a line where Alberto says, my dad said I was old enough to be on my
yeah.
own?
I mean, they certainly
yeah.
set it up like the dad deliberately left. Like,
I mean,
but
yeah,
I mean, maybe,
I,
Kevin.
I
don't know.
He could have, but my thinking is that he left and, like, never came back because he was dead. But, again, they never really took enough time to explore things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right,
I
right.
Thought that, I thought we'd see that, but I kind of took it as, like, he probably didn't abandon him. He probably was killed by these human monsters because they set up this whole thing of these humans. Ercole is obsessed with killing sea monsters. And so I'm kind of thinking, like, oh, probably Ercole or someone his dad killed.
Well, that was always that was the running thing that I thought they were going to do with Juliana's dad. Is that the reason he lost his arm was from a sea monster.
Was a, right.
But did they say that he was born that way?
He did. He made a joke about it was a sea monster or something. And he was like, no, I've always been like this.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So, gotcha. I mean, you know, the team starts.
But that would have given you more stakes of why right. the dad. I mean, it would have been a total, like, I mean, Beauty and the Beast, even if you want to talk about being kind of, you know, feeling reductive or whatever. I mean, Beauty and the Beast is a gay metaphor. I mean, Howard Ashman, if you watch that great Howard Ashman documentary on Disney Plus, you know, he did the music with Alan Menken, and they were an amazing team that, you know, a Little Shop of Horrors, all that. But, you know, he was gay and he had to hide that and hide that he had AIDS for a really long time.
So wait, what's the metaphor? Like in the movie?
Going to kill the beast, going to kill gay people that are, you know, and people with AIDS and that, like, he wrote that as that's how he, I mean, it's that song is so, it's so sad to think about when you know that's why he wrote that. And it was all about his struggles of being gay and not being accepted. So, you know, he wrote a lot of that stuff in there. So, like, it's kind of like we've done this kind of stuff with other Disney movies, and especially sure. the same people that did Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast.
Had to have that discussion with my kid the other day, which was super awkward, about what AIDS is.
Yeah.
Because she asked what happened to Freddie Mercury. Wow. And I was like, well, we've got about 20 minutes in this car ride, so I'm going to try to do the best I can. Good luck.
But I think if they would have gone that route, right, like if the dad was totally, I mean, it just happens so fast where you don't really get that struggle. But if it was like, oh, I'm against them because they took my arm and now I'm going to try to get right. them. And you know, I mean,
and then he develops his relationship with this kid. And I say relationship, but I mean, let's just be clear. Yeah. It's like a father-son relationship.
Right. An appropriate relationship.
Yeah. And so given the fact that the Luca and Juliana are getting so close, and Antonia, no, what's the kid's name? The other kid's
Alberto?
Name? Alberto tries to not sabotage the thing, but tries to like be the cool guy. And he kind of jumps on this bike that Luca was trying to get through this one spot, and they end up going into the water. And Juliana comes running down and makes sure they're okay. And she sees that Alberto has reverted, you know, he gets thrown into the ocean and sees them in his true form. And she freaks out. And then rather than Luca stand up for his friend, he turns on him, kind of like Peter does, you know, like, so he says, you know, sea monster. And of course that Alberto is heartbroken because he doesn't back him up. He doesn't stand up and say that I'm the same as you.
Right.
And then Luca realizes that he's messed up. He tries to apologize to Alberto, and we kind of get an insight into Alberto's world at this point. But again, an hour and a half movie, we get like hashtags or hash marks on a wall that gives an idea of like how long Alberto has been alone, I guess, on this little mm-hmm. island. Right. And then Luca says, I'm just going to do it by myself. Like I'm going to win this Vespa for us and we're going to go.
The conflict is resolved really quickly.
Yes. But Luca also
shows
like,
up and Alberto's mad and Luca's like, I'm going to do you, this. Bro. Bye. Right. And Alberto's like, what are you doing? Right. And that's it. Everything's
fine. There's also this kind of this subplot of Luca wanting to go to, I say human school, but it's just he wants to go to school with Juliana and right. learn because like he's learning about the universe and about outside the world.
Well, he's a fish. He wants to be in a school. It's natural.
How does that joke also not get made? Is the fact that he wants to go to school and everybody's like, you're already in one. Like, what are you talking about? So the race happens. And of course you've got the, Hercules. I'm just, whatever is the kid's name is,
Ercole.
I know you struggle with Italian.
It's very hard. Yeah. Considering my, yeah.
Well, yeah, he's Sicilian. It's different.
Yeah.
What language do they speak in Sicily?
Sicilian.
No. Is that a language?
No, it's Italian.
Okay.
But like so, I enjoyed this scene where like the kid douses his buddy in olive oil and like throws because so he can swim faster in the water.
That was crazy. Ryan turned to me and he goes, "Does that work?" I'm like, "No, what is that?
Of course not." No. But then he's getting chewed up by like little minnows in this at the same process at the same time.
I did like that in this race. Like it's like, well, how is Luca going to do this by himself? The whole point of the whole plot line in this movie is he turns into a sea monster when he touches water.
Yeah.
And so he's going to do the biking part and the girl is going to swim because obviously Alberto can't either. And Alberto is going to eat all the pasta. So that's the three parts of this kid's triathlon. And I really like how like at the beginning of the movie, Alberto is diving down into the water to get all his human
possessions that he's was trying to steal from the humans at the beginning.
Right.
And the way, and Luca thinks it's a human coming to kill him, but really it's just Alberto in this diving suit. And I thought that was a cool throwback, how Luca decides, oh, well, I'll go get that suit. And it's one of those with like the,
it's like the old circular, timey,
like Jacques Cousteau suit. Covered. Yeah. Grates like the, in the front. What's the,
what was
that.
The movie with Cuba Gooding Jr. and Robert De Niro? Is it Men of Honor?
Men of Honor.
Men of Honor? Yeah. Like, it's that style suit, because that's what he wears.
It's like old school, like the very first way people would go
underwater.
Deep,
yeah.
Like 1800s deep sea, yeah. Deep sea diving.
It's like Jules right. Verne level yeah. scuba diving.
Yes, exactly.
So that was cool that he used that. That was a nice, you know, little callback that allowed him to do that without being caught. But then again, like, the suit takes on water, the face part cracks,
right.
And then he turns, and then he takes off the helmet, and somehow, like, in a couple
seconds...
No,
the helmet gets knocked off, and he sucks his head into the suit, and I'm like, nobody would freak out that there's no head in this suit that's just walking around?
But
no?
Also, okay, the drying funny. Off, he's in a suit of water.
Right.
Remember, it all is like, sometimes he completely transforms, sometimes it's spot sensitive, so I'm like...
In the time okay, it takes for him to crawl under a table... And yeah. then pop back up. He's dry and looking like.
And
a kid.
And sometimes like the sea monsters have it's, clothes on.
Yeah,
and
sometimes, yes. sometimes it's have... just the spot that got wet. It's yeah,
right. There's, it, yeah. It, there's mean, that one again, scene where I'm... where he after the scene with Alberto when he's fully you know revealed. I think Luca gets his hands wet and like yeah. puts them out to stop Giuliana from doing something. And I did kind of like her reaction where she has this. Visceral reaction to seeing Alberto full sea monster, and then when she sees Luca's hands, she's just kind of like, come on, like you too, like yeah. are you kidding me? So there's it was just an interesting like how quickly she doesn't freak out
because she's a good person
yeah.
and these two are her only friends, and you know that's the other thing. I mean, and you see this all the time. I mean, whether it's Shape of Water or whatever else.
Can we not
it's like,
talk about that movie?
Well, it's yes. hard not to when you think of human fish people relations. But the thing is that the humans treat her like crap, and these sea monsters are her only friend. So when
which
kind of
plays into the very end, yeah.
It doesn't change anything between like, well, these are still good people.
Right.
And that's what, of course, the dad comes around to and sees that there have been such good friends to his daughter and all that stuff.
Right. So the last part of the race is Luca has to ride the bike, and now it's starting to rain, and Luca... like dives underneath an awning, and then he doesn't know what to do and realizes he's going to go on his own. And then here comes Alberto with a giant umbrella to help him. I don't know how that's going to help in the long run, because that means he's got to carry the umbrella while he's riding down this massive hill. But he ends up getting knocked over, and the reveal is that Luca, after what he had done the first time, realizes he can't hide anymore and rides
well, Ercole is about to kill Alberto.
Is that
with
what
a
it
giant
is?
Spear.
Yeah. Okay.
And so
okay.
Luca saves him. He goes into the water, reveals himself, and grabs him. And then they just
take
narrowly
off.
Pass the finish line and crash out there. And then the townspeople again. Like it's just too short and cutesy. Like the whole town hates sea monsters, and wants to kill them, and they win this triathlon. And the town's like, "Yay, the winner of our triathlon!" Like,
well, no, just, I mean they do start to. I mean. Sort of. They surround them, and you think it's going to go bad, but then the dad steps up and says, you know...
Okay, but
I agree
I
with
it,
you, Kevin.
But what
it
I'm
does,
saying,
it does,
though,
happens
is
very
that,
fast.
It, yes, the dad... What I think is that the mob of people in real life, knowing humanity, the dad
yeah.
then gets pummeled and killed, and they still kill the
sure, yeah,
it's
right,
just...
Right.
There wasn't enough to... I just wanted them to do something to where the other people came around in a more organic way, not just, yes, there's this big fisherman with one arm that says, oh, they're awesome. And yeah, I get it. He's tough, but there's still a whole city, a village of people.
Right.
And I just wish that something else could have happened where maybe more people chimed in or, oh, they did this for me. They realized the little kids did this. They helped them with this. They should have planted little seeds to where people all came around and said, yeah, they are good because look how great they all are.
Right.
And you know,
and yeah. Just, and so they win. And they get their Vespa and everything's fine. And then Giuliana has the kind of reveal that she says, I'm going to school. And Luca is kind of heartbroken because he wants to go to school. And there's a moment where the other kid kind of like winks.
Alberto.
Yeah. Kind of like winks at the camera and like, you know, puts his hand on the Vespa or whatever. And then we find out that as Giuliana is getting ready to go, this is the scene that I think is the most like love story esque scene of this
yeah.
entire thing, where the other kid sells the Vespa so that Luca can go to school, and he's okay, and the parents are okay with it, and everybody's okay with it, and Luca is on the train riding away, and the other friend is like running after him, like reaching out for him, and then Luca starts to cry, and I was like, man, this is a tonal shift from this entire, like, you see it, like you said, in the very beginning, like that first date
right
in the very beginning, to this at the very end. I was like, this is very interesting. Like, it's and then Luca kind of rides off to school. What I thought was interesting is there's no dead parents that we know of, right? Like, we theorize that the other kid's dad is dead, but we don't really know that.
Yeah, where, I feel it plays more like the dad abandoned.
That's what I thought as well.
Died.
But in the post credits, you get like these beautifully rendered drawings of
which
Luca,
is another Miyazaki thing.
Yes, very much so. Luca and Giuliana in Geneva. Is that where they went? Wherever they went to school.
Yeah.
But we see her mom. So it's just very interesting that, like, this is kind of I'm assuming that we're divorced parents at this point.
Yeah, that's the cool. I thought that was cool, too, though.
They
didn't
kill the mom, but she's there in this other part of town.
I like that one thing that animation in kids' movies has been doing very well lately in the last few years is it's been showing divorced families, you know, whether
blended families, all of the above.
Same-sex, blended families, like, kids are able now to see their family on screen, and it's really nice there's that representation for kids because, you know, you just always have in these movies, they have this fairy tale king and queen, or you have the dead parent or whatever, and it's like, it's nice that they're starting to incorporate a realistic relationship, and it's like, yeah, just because there's a dad doesn't mean the mom has to be dead.
Right, or vice versa.
Yeah, she lives in a different city, and so I did think that was a nice touch, and they were living there with the mom, but you're right, and they're like writing letters back and forth. What I think that's nice about this movie is that if you want to read it as a kind of a blossoming romance between Luca and Alberto, it's there. But I also think that, you know, at this age and they're just kids, they can just be friends. I think it's really nice. I do like that you can interpret it and it's there if you want it. I just think it makes the stakes lower for the film, if that makes sense. Like, I don't dislike.
No, I think that makes total sense.
That it works on both levels. Yeah. But if it were a better movie, I think it'd be fine on those levels, but without that, it kind of just seems wishy-washy and you just don't have as much invested in the characters or the relationship.
I think it'll be interesting when Marvel finally does the X-Men and how they handle that as well, because the X-Men have always been an allegory for
civil rights
yeah. or outsiders, or, you know, people who aren't quote unquote normal.
Well, wait a minute. Stan Lee just took it from that one book.
Sure. Yes. That's. I mean that. And that guy. Man.
That's such
a great callback to a Stan Lee.
I think I recorded. I'll have to find that video.
It's there somewhere. Do you hear that
story?
Some
guy said, since Stan Lee basically stole the X-Men from some book that no one's ever heard of, and then later on in the panel, someone asked a question about how he thought up some idea from X-Men, and he's like, "I read that book.
I read that book. This was what 2014." Yeah. The first Comic-Con, whatever.
I mean, he was still like 85 years old or something.
Yeah, sharp as a tack.
So sharp, yeah.
But yeah, and I'd be interested to see, like, we talk about how they handle, you know, how it's not done out in the open with movies like this. It'll be interesting to see what they do, especially with the Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
And how I feel like that's bigger than the Disney animation at this point. Like the Marvel movies.
Oh, sure. That's the biggest thing.
I feel like it has more wiggle room to do something like that, because one, it's not a kid's movie, right? People get hung up on the idea of like, but this is for kids. And it's like, although if this had been about Luca having a crush on Julia and they kissed at the end, nobody would say a word. But this is a kid's movie.
Right.
But,
absolutely.
But with it being live action, and it also doesn't have the heritage and baggage of Disney animation going back close to 100 years at this point. Like,
I also think it's interesting, like, there are X-Men characters who are openly gay.
Mm-hmm.
So, Iceman, they've just, Bobby Drake is openly gay, and North Star and all these different characters that they don't have to fiddle with it, right? You don't have to hear, like, oh, you're pushing the
agenda.
You're
retconning this. It's like, no, it's already
here
in the book, so.
Right, so yeah. Deal with it. So it'll be interesting to see what they do whenever we get there, which I don't think is going to be for a while.
But yeah, this one was fine. I mean, I think there are definitely positives to it. I mean, there were things like, you know, just the countryside and everything. It was good looking, interesting style of animation. It was fun for a watch.
Yeah,
but
I'll never watch it.
Memorable.
Again.
Yeah, I can't imagine ever watching this movie.
Nope.
Yeah. Like it was just so
won't happen.
Yeah, like
unless the kid's like, can I watch that? It's like, yeah, go
whatever. It's fine. Free on Disney
Plus.
Yeah,
I don't give a crap.
Have at it, man.
She's been watching Raya like crazy.
Really?
Raya's great.
And she watches it
so if you're
all the time.
If you're going to come up with these animated movies, you love to see something we've never seen before. And Raya is so original, and it taps into a different culture. I mean, I know that this one was in Italy, but again, we don't spend time really with the culture or with, you know, any kind of mythology or anything. So, like, Raya does a really great job. Like, if you want to talk about a good Disney movie.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. It looks fantastic, too.
It is, yeah.
Awesome. Well, I guess that brings this one to a close. We can go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21. Also, I want to wish you two gentlemen a happy Father's Day.
Oh, yeah. It's Father's Day.
It is
Father's
Day.
Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you. Yeah. Also, finally, I did a guest spot on the Binge Movies podcast.
Never heard of
it. Did you record it?
I did record it.
Oh,
I made sure that I recorded it. I did not.
Change of pace.
Thank you very much. I told Jason that joke would come up when I said what was going to happen. But yeah, it should be released on Tuesday. We did a breakdown of the first season of Justice League. The animated movie. The animated cartoon, the show. Not the anything else. Just the good stuff. So that should be out on Tuesday.
Awesome.
And this is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett and catch the part two of the season finale of Four is a Crowd, where I return as a guest star as Jason.
Oh. And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. I don't know. Now I feel like I should plug something. You can
clip out. I don't know.
You can hear me talk about a bike I don't ride if you listen to the clip out. There you go. We were in the Hollywood Reporter.
No way.
Yeah, we were in the Hollywood Reporter last week.
That's awesome.
What'd you do now?
What's that?
What'd you do now?
No, they wrote a big article about Peloton, and there was a full paragraph in there about how Peloton has people who try to track down the leaks about stories that appear on the clip out. And I was just like, oh, look at that.
Look at there.
I was just like, I was telling, I was joking around the clip out. I'm like, yeah, I think the guys on the movie podcast I'm on probably weren't too excited that the podcast that gets mentioned in the movie trade publication was not the movie podcast.
That's pretty good. Yeah. That's fair. That's totally fair.
I wouldn't have thought that the Peloton podcast would be my path to getting mentioned in the Hollywood Reporter.
There's one of those.
Yeah.
There's a few movie
Absolutely,
podcasts.
Yeah, totally. So, well, no, there's not one anymore. There's a bunch of people out there
they
trying
don't
to
count.
Do what we do, but they're
Yeah, there's one.
There's one.
But there's only one that matters.
That's right.
Yeah, there we go. So also don't forget you can find the show online, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, wherever you're getting your podcast from, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. So that's it for this one. I guess next time we're tackling Fast and Furious 9.
Oh my God, the week that I'm gone.
Oh, you
this
lucky
is the
bastard.
First, this is the first one I'm missing.
You lucky bastard.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
F9, the Fast Saga is the official title. So. Thank you.
I don't care. I think the Fast movies is where I started my journey of just getting the titles wrong.
Because I don't care. It's just funny how they can change the convention every single movie.
It's asinine. So anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, Oliver gets engaged.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things.
Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.